Turn to Proverbs 3, verse 8. I want to talk tonight about eliminating the spiritual roots of sickness. Now, I want to ask you a question first. How many of y'all ever get sick? Come on, raise your hand. Now, I want you to do something tonight. How many of y'all remember when you were a kid to play a game called Connect the Dots? Okay? You see all these dots on a page, and you connect this dot, and before you know it, you keep connecting dots, you start to see there's a bear there, you know, there's a lion. But you got to connect the dots to see it. Well, I believe a lot of ways that when we get sick, unfortunately, we don't connect the dots. We don't connect that the reason we're sick, there may be a spiritual source. There may be something going on in our life. There may be an attitude, there may be something that's transferred, that is the reason we're sick. So often when we get sick, or in front, particularly if it's a familiar sickness, something we fall into all the time, that we don't tend to discern, and we run to the arm of the flesh. Jeremiah 17 says, cursed is a man that leans on the arm of the flesh. He will be dried up. Blessed is a man that leans on the arm of the Lord. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. So God wants us to connect the dots and see what is often the roots behind our sickness. And I have found that more times than not, people are sick for a spiritual reason. Kids are sick for a spiritual reason. I really believe that. People that have ongoing infirmities, ongoing problems, more times than not, there's a spiritual root. I know there are times that you can get sick plainly because you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. For instance, you're downtown Houston, and you're waiting to get on the elevator, and the elevator opens, and somebody goes, "Achoo!" and they step out, and you're supposed to walk into that. You know, and if you walk in there, it's like you're walking into this little small room with these, yeah, you can be exposed. But a lot of our sicknesses have spiritual roots. So what I want you to do while I'm teaching on this tonight is be asking the Lord where you need to connect the dots. Where you are experiencing an ongoing malady, an ongoing infirmity, an ongoing problem, whether it's allergies or colds, whether it's back problems or neck problems, whether it's, I know a lot of these women suffer with the thyroid problems or indigestion problems or whatever it is. I want to see if you can't connect the dots that there may not be a spiritual root, particularly if you've gotten a lot of prayer and you never get healed. And it's gotten to the point that you've just kind of given, or you just accepted the fact, I have to take medicine to keep this thing under control. I would submit there's a very real possibility you're missing the boat. That there is a root that if you become aware of, we can curse the root and you can experience healing. Can you hear amen? So that's what we're going to talk about, is eliminating the spiritual roots. Proverbs 3:8. We looked at this last week. I'll go quick review. 3:8 says, it shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. That word health, we saw last week, was the Hebrew word marpe, which means, that's the transliteration, which means curative medicine. Now what he's referring to in verse 8, and this was my last week's sermon, is that the reason we get sick often is because we don't have a firm spiritual foundation. And I believe here he's saying, if you will do the preceding 7 verses, it shall be health and moistening. If you will move in the principles he just laid out, this will be medicine to you. And the counter is true. If you don't operate, or it may be the reason you're sick, is one of these fundamental foundational things are not in your life. And we went over these last week. It's tape number 1073. But basically, what he talks about is acknowledging the Lord in all of your ways, trusting the Lord with all your heart, not leaning on your own understanding. In other words, learning how to walk in the Spirit, not walking in the soul, not always living out of the mental, and in all the ways acknowledging Him, having a grateful, thanksgiving spirit, being grateful and full of joy, rejoicing in the Lord, being not wise in your eyes. That speaks of dealing with pride. I have a sermon I've done before how pride can make you sick. We have a classic example of Naaman. Remember Naaman? Naaman had leprosy, and the prophet said, if you just go dip yourself down in the Jordan River 7 times, you'll be healed. Remember his attitude? Remember what his attitude was? Ah, the Jordan? Forget it. That's muddy. How about my big rivers over there in Syria? I don't mess with the Jordan. He was going to walk off. Now, hello, was there pride there? But, you know, one of his young men said, hello, So he snapped, went to Jordan, was healed. But a lot of us, and I really believe in some ways that pride probably brought it on, and humility brought healing. And I showed, I have a sermon I've done, in fact, I think one of my, it's on the web, one of the tapes I've done is how pride can make you sick. There's a lot of sicknesses we open us up to. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And we move in pride and arrogance and self-sufficiency. We open ourselves up to demonic incursion. We wake up latent diseases. Like we talked about that before. There are generational curses. Our family, and everybody knows that. Your grandma and great-grandma can have a certain malady that comes down the family line. Maybe your family has heart troubles, or maybe diabetes in your family line. Maybe, cancers in the family line. Whereas one person, when they become exposed spiritually, they will begin to manifest cancer, and other persons begin to manifest heart problems. That's because it's family. Now, what it is, it's like a latent problem. It's a latent curse. It's not woken up. What wakes it up is when we open ourselves up. In Genesis 4, he says, sin crouches at the door. You know, and you need to have mastery over it. It'll have mastery over you. If you leave the door open, something's going to come in and take over you and begin to manifest through you. So the good news is we can break those curses. Jesus died to break the curses, eliminate the curses, destroy the sins of the fathers that would not pass to the children. But a lot of people are experiencing the maladies of the family line simply because they're not connecting the dots. They're not recognizing the reason I'm suffering in sickness. It has to do with the spiritual attitude or deception that I'm operating in. So, tonight I want to move on a little bit further, chapter 4. We're going to stay in Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 20. By the way, it never fails. When I'm going to teach on healing, I start fighting all kind of allergies and stuff. When I start praying, I did any of these waves of, oh, no, I'm getting a cold, you know, the sore throat. But I would just speak in tongues and get still and rebuke it, and it would lift off of me. And it never fails, you know. So embarrassing to get up here. Okay, I'm going to talk about healing tonight. You want to get healed? Come on, blow your hands on you. Yeah, sure. No, praise God. God is merciful. Amen? All right. 4:20. Chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health. And there that word Hebrew is in the word marpe to all their flesh. Now, I want to show you something, and I want to snap you in the spirit. And I want to show you something absolutely amazing about those three verses you've probably never seen before. We're talking about the spiritual roots of sickness. When you meditate on the Word, when you look at the Word, my solution to these things is go right to Scripture. Amen? Right to the Word. Meditate the Word. Let the Holy Spirit reveal what the Word is really saying to us in context so we can get revelation on how to be healed. The Bible says He sent His Word and healed them. We have to seek out the treasures of His truth to set us free. Now that Word, He says, their health are marpe to all their flesh. Curative medicine. Now let's look at these verses carefully. There is a major condition. You see, with every promise, there are conditions. People always talk about all the promises of God, and they claim the promises, but they don't understand there's always conditions to promises. John 8 says, if you continue in my word, anybody remember what it says? Then you're my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth too. In other words, people just say, well, I know the truth will make you free. You know, I'm a disciple. But what's the condition? If you continue in my word, if you meditate on the word and know the word, then you're a disciple. A disciple is one who knows and understands the scripture. So there's a condition here, and I want you to see this. In verse 20 and 21 develops a condition to experience healing in your body. Are you ready? My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Now, this is written by Solomon, the king. But he apparently is writing it to his son. Would you agree? It says, my son. In fact, earlier in the same chapter, he alludes to that. He says, verse 1, hear, you children, the instruction of what? Of a father. Verse 3, I was my father's son. He taught me, verse 4, to get wisdom. Then he turns out, verse 10, now you hear, O my son, receive my saying. So we're talking about a man who said, I submitted to my father's counsel, right? David, who gave me wisdom. Now I, as your father, am giving you wisdom down. So there's an authority submission dynamic here. I want you to see this. This is a father saying to his son. The father says, my son, attend to my words. Listen to what I'm saying. How many of y'all would have stayed out of a lot of trouble had you listened to what your parents said? How many got in a lot of trouble because you rebelled against your parents? You knew better. What do they know? They're squares. I know. Right there, we open ourselves up. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. The whole nation of America, we were founded on in a spirit of rebellion, and is prevalent in our culture. So here's the, you ready? Here's the major condition for healing. Are you ready? A meek, teachable, and corrective spirit. That's what he said. My son, if you will hear my words, incline your ear and keep what I'm saying to you, guess what? There'll be life to you that find them and health to your flesh. The condition for healing that I see in this scripture is a meek and teachable spirit. Now listen, a corrective spirit. To be correctable. That's what meekness means, is to be teachable and correctable. I just was talking to a pastor today who called me. He's a woman pastor. Well, she's a Mormon leader. She's not really a pastor, but she has a lot of people. She counsels and disciples. And I like the lady. She's not really a pastor, but she's over this ministry. And she began to dump on me about this person. Oh, surprise. Just dump on me about this person that visits my church, and she's not here tonight, and warning me about this person. Well, she had called me some months ago to warn me about him, and I'd heard her out. Well, she did it again. I said, look, stop. I said, I'm not worried about people that come to this church. She was going, well, yeah, but you don't understand this person, that's this. And finally I said to the lady, I said, ma'am, you know, I felt the Spirit come on me. I said, are you willing to go talk to this person? I mean, you're dumping on me. Why don't you go talk to him? I said, what good is you telling me about all the problems in this person's life? You know, that they stole this and all. I said, I don't have any credibility to confront this person. They visit my church, but you are cognizant of all these things. It's incumbent upon you to meet with her. Oh, no. And she began to judge her, and I mean, dump about her. I said, and then it really, I began to rebuke this lady. I said, ma'am, you need to go. Matthew 18, she's a sister in Christ. I don't care what ministry you're in, she's a sister in Christ. You're aware she's got problems. And you know, I began to quote scripture, and it was cool. This lady finally went, you're right. I haven't wanted to. I need to go. I said, now when you go, don't you go dumping. I told her, well, I know she does this. So-and-so. I said, I don't care. You go in a meek spirit. And I quoted two verses to her. Galatians 6:1 says, when someone's out of, you that are spiritual, restore someone in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself. And 2 Timothy 2:22 says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, that perhaps God will grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth so that they can escape from the snare of the devil. I said, you've got to go in meekness. And what that means is you don't have it all figured out. I don't care what you heard from when and where and how. You go with a meek spirit, a humble spirit, and maybe God will touch your heart. If you go in there and lay her low, she's going to get defensive. I would too, wouldn't you? Somebody takes you out, I say, you need to take her to McDonald's and have a cup of coffee with her. Sit down with your coffee and say, I'm here to straighten you out and tell you all that I've heard about you. Now, what are you going to do? You'd say, you can keep the coffee. I'm out of here. Hello? But if they come and say, you know, I love you, you're a sister in Christ, but I'm concerned, I've heard some things, and that's a meek spirit. Meek means teachable. I said, go in there and be willing to hear from this lady. You are so judged. And I really believe the principle here of healing is the principle of a meek, teachable, corrective spirit. Now listen carefully. As you allow, here's the revelation, as you allow words of wisdom to come from those over you in the Lord. Hello? Over you. It has to do with authority submission thing. As you allow those over you to speak into your life, you will be healed. As children, submit to the authority of their parents and allow the words of their parents. You know, even the most abusive parents, and I hear about abusive parents, even the most abusive parents love their kids. They just got so many problems, they don't know how to handle the problems. and so they become abusive. But it doesn't mean God can't still speak through them. See, people say, well, they were abusive and they this, therefore they write them off. And I'm going to share something next week. I'll share this with Sherry. I'll share this with Bo. I'm waiting on next week. I'm going to do a sermon on this. But I had the most amazing, profound experience in the deliverance ministry in 21 years yesterday with a woman from Biloxi that called me. Now listen, 70 years old. She was hurt by her daddy when she was 14. And she has been in pain every day since. 56 years. Still hurting about it. When she began to tell me about it, she began to cry and weep and experience emotions. I'm talking 70-year-old woman crying and re-experiencing emotions of what happened when she was 14. Are you hearing me? That's pretty drastic. And she, for the last couple of decades, she's been to deliverance ministry. She's had prayer and counseling, bounced from church to church. I mean, just on and on and on. And the way she found out about me is some lady up in northeast Texas, Milton Green's wife, widow, who kind of likes us. And she sent it over there. Crazy connection. Do you know in 30 minutes, I gave her a word of wisdom and set her free? She said to me, "That's it. That's it." And she began to laugh. She was excited. 56 years! But you know what I shared with her? I said to her, "Now before I share this, are you sitting down? And please don't hang up the phone." Because I recognized this woman needed... Now I didn't know her. She was a long way off. But I knew she needed somebody to take the blade and stick it right into her heart because it was a deception. And I realized nobody had the guts to love her enough to do it. I could see as she talked, I discerned what the problem was. I said, "Well, ma'am, here's the deal." But you know, it cut right to the quick. But you know, she was so miserable, she heard it gladly. Basically, it was pride. I said, "I don't care what your daddy did to you when you were 14. You know what you deserve, ma'am? What? Hell." She said, "What?" I said, "You deserve hell. You deserve to roast in eternal fires and abyss from horror and screaming torment of demons. That's the truth, but for the blood of Jesus. Am I right?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Let's work that out in our mind. If you deserve hell, anything else is improvement. Can there be an amen?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Then what right do you have to still judge and hang on to that with your dad?" And she never seen it that way. She said, "You're right." I said, "Anything's an improvement." I was at a conference up in Detroit once. I never forget this, man. Had a room full of people doing deliverance conference. And there was all these women there, and I shared that principle about... I thought they were going to throw me out when I said this. You know, they invited me back after this. I was amazed. Went back a few months later, but or a year later, whenever. But I said to the women, I said, "How many of you have been sexually abused?" A bunch of hands went up. A bunch of hands. And then I said, "Now, y'all, please bear with me here, because Christ shared things, and they once almost killed him when he walked out of Nazareth. Remember, they were going to throw him over the hill? I said, y'all may want to stone me, but I'm going to share what's the truth. It's like the time I had a root canal. The guy said, look, the only way we're going to deal with this root canal, we have to stick this needle right down the middle of your tooth. It'll sting for a second. I'm going to tell you, the pain was... and then it was gone. The Novocaine hit, and I was fine. But boy, that sting, particularly when it came with the needle. And you know, the Lord showed me sometimes it takes truth to set you free. Can you know what I mean? Truth you don't want to hear. And I told those ladies, I said, how many of y'all are offended that you were sexually abused? Well, of course they're all offended they were sexually abused. How many of y'all have forgiven your abuser? Well, most of them have forgiven. How many of y'all are still bound by the emotion of it? Every one of their hands went up. I said, how would you like to be free from the wound of it? I said, you need to realize